Tonight's presentation of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense. Tonight, we bring you a story about a man whose name was synonymous with death. We call it The Groom of the Ladder. So now, starring Hans Conried, here is tonight's suspense play, The Groom of the Ladder.
Evening, Mr. Price.
Evening, William.
Oh, it's cold enough. I'll play for you, Mr. Price.
Well, I must say I'm fair worn out.
What you need is a bit of the old warming for the cockles.
Ah, true. It's cruel work for a man in this weather.
You walk down to the Blue Boar, Mr. Price. Have yourself a dollop.
Oh, I thought of that, but I happen to be a little short of fun tonight, William.
I wonder. Oh, have one for me, Mr. Price.
Oh, that's very nice of you, I must say, William. Very nice. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Price. My kindest regards to your wife, Mr. Price.
Thank you, William.
Ooh, a dirty dog. I hope they give him what for a Blue Boar.
Nasty little rat, that William Hartley. I've got to keep an eye on him. Hartley. What right's he got to look at me like that? I know the instinct of get my job. A chance of that, I'll see him turned off first. Oh, my God, a thirst. Should go home, I suppose. Let it be grousing out of all neck. I'll let her grouse. I got me right. Blue Boar for me. Evening, one and all. Evening. Evening, Mr. White, Mrs. White,
Mr. Love. Oi, Brenny, you're spry as ever. Hello, what's this all about? Somebody dead?
Well, that's the way it is it?
Keeper, ale. I said ale. Ale.
Perhaps you didn't hear me the first time.
Didn't you pay for it?
Yes, I can pay for it. And more. Don't you worry about me. I can pay for anything. You hear that, all of you? I don't need a bloody one of you. You'll all come to me one of these days.
Ale.
I heard the watchman out looking for somebody. He don't pay his debts and he's going to Marshall Street prison for it.
Who said that? Who said it?
I wonder who's going to get Jack Kent's job when he's out of office.
Who called me that? My name's Price. John Price. John Price. John Price. Hear what I say? John Price.
I have such an horrible pain in my throat, Mr. Ketch, dear. You have a cure.
Got any old clothes for sale today, Mr. Kent? Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, yes. Stop! I'll do you a mischief, this one, you hear? Don't stop it.
Well, turn that. There'll be none of that in here. If you want your ale, come over to the table and drink it. Otherwise, out.
Oh, I'm sorry I lost my temper. I'm sorry, I'm just a bit tired tonight. Accept my apologies, Keeper.
I don't accept nothing from you except your money. I have to serve you, my charter says so. But no troubles in you, or out you go, and that's a fact, and don't forget it.
It's always like this. Either they don't say a blinking word or they aim a man off the way. Can't they understand? I'm just like anybody else. I do me job, same as anyone.
It's lonely, a man sitting by himself, swilling ale, all by himself. Wish I had some money. I mean, some of the actual, not coppers. Oh, I'd have friends there and lots of them. What was it they were saying about the watchmen at the thing? Well, they can't do that.
I'll pay the debts what I owe. If I can only get a good job or two. Why don't they let the man alone? Not fair.
Not fair.
Where you are, what? Stop it, anyone.
Hello, Mr. White. Mrs. White.
Come on, Elizabeth. Time's just to be going up.
Oh,
I said hello. That's all. I didn't do no harm, just hello. It's me, John Frost. You know me. Can't you say hello? Hello, that's all.
Lightly. He come to the Blue Boar to laugh at me. That's how he gets his pleasure. They all do. And when I get home, it's going to be the same. Oh, I wish I was dead.
A piece of mutton on the table at 6 o'clock.
Hello, Beth. Where's the kid?
Where you been? I've told you for the last time I ain't going
to... Beth, you're breaking love. I had a very difficult job today. Like to break my poor arm. I swore like a pig.
How much did you get?
The usual.
And it over.
Now, Beth.
I should have known. You've been boozing at the Blue Boar. Spent every blessed...
I was tired, but I thought a sup would help.
Sup? Hog's head, to the look of you.
Sweetheart, we've got a few shillings put by, haven't we?
Oh, no, you don't.
No, it's desperate, that girl. They'll have me in debtor's prison. I heard them talk tonight.
Do you good?
No, don't say. Love, it is long to be for a week, two at the most. I got to raise every penny I can.
That money's for me and the kid. You don't touch one sop.
I'll lose my job.
Don't make me laugh. Your job. Call that a job? I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed to have people know me name.
No, Bet, I'm your husband. It's your duty to obey me. You give me what money we got in the house and I'm going
to... Or what? What will you do, Jack?
Now, Betty.
What will you do to Mrs. Jack Ketch, you murderer? Murderer! My husband. What do you do for an honest living? Why, he's a murderer.
No, don't.
Mother, what does don't Daddy do? He's got a lovely job, son.
Don't you try me.
Now, your dear old dad turns people off for our bread. He's Jack Ketch, the public hangman. Hangman!
Oh, hangman!
Suppose it was wrong to beat her like that. Well, that's a man to do. So, what with my debts and what I done to Bet, here I am in Marshalsea Prison. Not the first time I've been here, but what a stinking hole. All of us together. A muck of London. Men, women, and dogs. There's one lad though that ain't so bad. He come in yesterday. He's got learning. A gentleman, you can see that. Thomas Lovelace, his name. He's in debt to his eyes. £2,000.
I'll be here until I rot first.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, sir. There's always hope.
You've been here before?
three times, sir. This is the fourth. I know it was for debt. Of course, there was the matter of my wife, Betty, this time.
What did you do for a living, Price? What's the matter?
Hadn't you noticed? The others, they never talked to me. Hadn't you noticed?
Not particularly.
I'll tell you why. Because I was in the employ of His Majesty. In service to the crown. That's why.
That's why they don't talk to you?
Well, I suppose you won't either when I tell you. You find out in a day or so anyhow. What's the use? I'm the angler.
Angler? But I thought the Jack Ketch was
what they call me.
Oh.
I thought so. Go on, sir. I won't trouble you. You're a gentleman. You don't want the likes of me.
You haven't got a very savory reputation, you know, Price.
It was my job. Somebody had to do it.
I've heard that you rather enjoyed it.
That's a lie.
What about the poor devils who paid you to put them out of their misery quickly?
I was happy to oblige. Poor souls. Sometimes they give me a few pence to help them through the awful passage to heaven. But Lord bless them, I did my best.
And if they didn't have any money?
I wouldn't hold it against them. Of course, I'm not denying that a nice rack or press job was worth a few shillings extra. But wouldn't you have taken the money? I ask you, wouldn't you?
I wouldn't have had your job, Price. Not for £1,000,000.
All right. That's the way of it. Each man to what he knows. Right, Mr. Lovelace? My profession is angling. Yours is to be a gentleman. Am I right, sir? And we're both of us in debtor's prison. Well, that gave him something to think about. He wasn't so high and mighty after that. Mr. Lovelace never had visitors. I didn't either. That is, not till one day, 3 months after I first come here. And it was William Hartley. And I didn't like the nasty weasel smile on him.
Well, Price, I heard about your misfortune and I came to sympathize.
How thoughtful, William.
How do they treat you in here?
Treat? Oh, like a blooming earl, can't you see?
Nasty smell down here.
They haven't brought in the fresh roses yet.
No. What about your debts, Price? Any luck?
No. It's only a matter of £5.
William? William Arthur, you did... Did you come here to help me? You're going to lend me the money.
Have I misjudged you, William? Good friend.
No, you haven't misjudged me, Price. I didn't come here to lend you nothing. I've come here like a good Christian to see you had your health and spirits. And I brought you a prayer book for your poor soul to feed on.
Oh, blimey, I'll
change your ways, Price. Change your ways before it's too late.
I'll change the shape of your hand.
Let him go! Get away from him, Price! Stop it! Have you gone mad? What have I done to you?
You shouldn't have done that, Price.
I won't forget. You'll pay for that.
And slumgullion for a month. No, I wasn't going to forget William Hartley. Never in all my life. It was Mr. Lovelace who saved me a crust or two of bread when I was brought up from the black hole. It was the best meal I ever had. And then things were the same again. The weeks went by. I wrote a song ballad.
Mr. Lovelace did the words in writing for me. I called it The Man of Destiny's Hard Fortune, Whereby His Hopeful Harvest Is Like to Be Blasted. And nobody bought it, though I still didn't have the money to pay me debts. Then I heard about Betty and the kid. They'd run off and left me. And that's when I made up my mind to get out of Marshalsea. That and William Hartley. I'd pay a little claw on him. I told my idea to Mr. Lovelace for a night. Mr. Lovelace?
Yes?
Come closer, sir. Listen, I'm getting out, see? Now, you've treated me right. I'm willing to take you with.
How can you? You've got these chains.
No, they ain't. They take them off in the afternoon when we exercise, don't they? All right. Next time.
How?
You leave that to me. You want to go with?
I'd rather die trying than stay.
All right, sir. Now, here's what we do. There's a woodshed next to the gate of the yard. Door's always open. When we have our constitutional tomorrow, we'll up in there and wait till it's dark.
One of the keepers will see.
Now, there's a new one on. I've been watching him. He's been drunk for a week. Easy as pie. You wait. We did it. Stayed hiding behind the wood till night. Felt funny without the chains on after so long. And then about 10 o'clock, we started out of the shed. I took a thick stick from the wood pile. Come on.
It will be locked.
To do with the deployment then, eh?
All clear.
He's asleep.
We have to pass him, supposing he wakes up.
Very well. Pull you over.
All right. Now, give me your hand. There. Up you come.
And there's London. Ain't that the loveliest sight? William Hartley's out there in it. And then Mr. Lovelace said goodbye.
I'll leave you here, Price. I can't thank you enough for helping me. Well, you shan't meet again, I suppose. But I'll always remember you. Goodbye.
And he went his way. A couple of minutes later, I found a broommaker going home from selling his wares. And after a short argument, I had 2 silver shillings in my pocket. I tossed for it. William Hartley, now or later. My first round. And that took me to the nearest alehouse in Bunhill Fields. Hartley'd have to wait, but not for long. I was going to do him a mischief. Pay the little scut back before the night was out. It was 2 hours later that I left the alehouse with a lovely swishing in my belly and happiness in my head. Funny thing, I couldn't on the lock me remember what I had to do. But there was something.
Oh, his groans was dreadful for to hear as the stones they pressed upon him. And Jack stood solemn, not shedding a tear, when the... Hello, sir.
Elizabeth White. Is that you, John Price? I thought you were in Marshall Street.
Elizabeth White. Well, I never. What you doing in Bunhill Fields this time of night?
No, I had an order of gingerbread to deliver.
No.
You frighten me.
Elizabeth White.
Oh, I'm all right, you know. Well, I've had one or two, but nobody can say John Price can't behave like a gentleman.
You are wicked.
Oh, I wish I was married to a sweet woman like you, Elizabeth. Well, I envy your husband.
Now, Mr. Price.
Well, I apologize. Humbly, yes. Do you hate me?
Of course not. I never hated you. The daddy didn't want me to talk to you.
No, I mean, because I'm Angman.
Ah, you're not anymore, anyway.
I'm really very gentle with Arch, you know. I'm just misunderstood by one and all.
Oh, I suppose.
Elizabeth, I've always had a liking for you.
The price.
Have you got a little money put away? We could make it a business arrangement. Just you and me, huh? And I'll pay you next month, how's that?
Oh, I haven't got anything, Mr. Price.
Oh, no, maybe a shilling or two. You must have cut something for the gingerbread.
Please, Mr. Price, no, Harry.
It's very honorable for a man in my position to be in debt. There's no one to turn to. Come on, I'll pay you back. I swear it, I'm desperate.
No, Mr. Price.
Will you keep it, huh?
Stop it, John. Come on, down. Stop it now. Here, give it over. You hear me? Oh, I need this. You see, I need it. I told you I'd pay you. Shut it off. Shut it off. Shut it off.
Watchman got me. But it was too late for Elizabeth White. I'm afraid I done that in, poor soul. I'm to aim for it, so there you are. I can hear them coming for me now.
Oh, I'd like a last swig of something to see me on the way. William Hartley.
Are you ready, John Price?
You nasty little winkle. You mean you're the hangman?
I am.
Oh, block. I was coming back to turn you off, you maggoty worm, and I forgot.
Or you wouldn't be here now. I bear you no malice, John Price.
You won't make no hangman. Not for long, you won't. You wait. You wait. They'll start calling you Jack Catch. You wait.
It's my duty. I always knew that someday I'd find my calling to protect the people from such poor wretches as you. I have found it.
Oh, blimey. I might have known. I might have known. Bad meter. Well, I, for one, haven't got a brass farthing for you. McClough, they won't fetch nothing. So block you.
I don't want neither. It's me job, John Price. Turning you off is me job, and that's what I'm going to do. You've come to a wicked end, as I knew you would.
I'm going to nab the stifle, and it's William Hartley what's going to do it. I'm better off dead. Here, William, you write something for me on the wall, will you?
Yeah, I've got some charcoal.
Yeah, right here, here. All right, now you write this. Here died John Price, hangman of London. He was turned off from the gallows, which he had served so well in his day. God save the king in the year 1686.
Presentation of the Groom of the Ladder.